Yeah.
Patrick reminded me. Thank you.
During the first part here, I was writing down a whole bunch of stuff that was said that's been in my heart and just confirmation. And before we get started, I just like to just have a word of prayer. Lord, I just pray, Father, that the message would pull down strongholds, that this message, Lord, would encourage and invigorate us and bring us to a more vibrant place in following you and being obedient to you. Lord, I thank you for the awesome work you're doing in this body of believers. Mm-hmm. And Lord, just open us up to your instruction as this message comes forth today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, because I don't like really being looked at and being at the center here, I am going, if I can find, here we go. I'm going to put you on a share screen a minute. And is that what I do? There we go. Can everybody see the scriptures? Well, I guess you do. I'm not going to be able to hear you. All right. So,
we see him, Malcolm.
What's that?
We see him, just so you know.
Okay. Thanks, Rich. So don't run down through these too fast. Let me get to them in a good order here. There's going to be some things said that, maybe at first you might not understand where I'm coming from, but I think that you will as time goes on. So just give me a little bit of grace as we go down through this, because it was really funny how the Lord just gave me all of this and changed some things around on me. I want to start by talking about I think I've mentioned this particular incident in my life before. When I was a teenager, we were playing the neighborhood. We were playing a game of soccer, and we finished the game, and we were just talking and hanging around. And this guy started picking on my brother, and I didn't see it at first, and somebody come running over to me and said, "Hey, Bobby Myers is picking on your brother," so I went, "Oh, well, I can't have that." So I went over and I told him to stop, and you know, teenagers, make me. So I wasn't about to let him do that, so I pushed him, and we got into a fight. I didn't get into too many fights when I was a kid. Didn't like it at all. But so we ended up fighting, I knocked him down, and I thought, well, that's the end of it. And I turned around and I called for my brother. I said, "Let's get going." And we started walking away, and he got back, this Bobby Myers kid, he got back up and he jumped on my back as I was walking away. And so we fought again, and I knocked him down, and that was, it seemed like that was the end of it. So started walking away again. He jumped on my back again. And then we fought, and I thought, you know what? I have to do something more than what I have just done to this kid to get him to stop. So I ended up getting on top of him. I was sitting on his stomach, and I was over him, and he was trying to hit me. And so I thought, I'm going to have to hit him in the face. And I hit him in the face. And he kept punching. So I hit him in the face a couple more times. And then he dropped his arms. You know, the enemy that we face is just as persistent is just as ruthless. Doesn't seem to know what's the right thing to do. Always does the wrong thing, and always tries to draw us in. And, you know, the enemy, these fallen angels that we really have to deal with, they are ruthless and they are persistent and they don't go away just because we want them to. You can see what's going on in the world. I don't want us to focus on the enemy, but I think we got to realize that there is a battle that's always going to be there, and we need to be above it. We need to be in a place of peace. We need to be in a place of rest. We need to be in the Lord's strength and not in our own. And with all the stuff that's going on where the enemy tries to work us on a personal level, he also is doing things in the grander picture on the national stage, and he's creating things that affect our lives. I'm sure you can all understand what I'm talking about in so many ways. And so this message really is talking about warfare and the way we need to approach it. But if you look at the scriptures that I have up there, we're starting out with something that doesn't seem like it really applies too much, but actually it does. So let's look at this first scripture. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Okay? And it says this: "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, at first glance, I guess that ends everything. We're not to fight. We're to do good. We're to love our enemies. That's the end of it. But I don't know if this is an absolute statement coming from the Lord. I want us to look at some other things here. This is where I want to be sure I do this right. Is this statement by Jesus an absolute statement? In every case, in all cases, at every level, are we to be in a position where what we consider to be love is what we give to people? Are we to be naive about things? Are there scriptures that should make us look at this a little more closely? And I want us to look at this because I think we need to be balanced. The Lord wants us to be instructed and not just have a cursory understanding of the scripture. We do need to be instructed. And I think it's important for us. You know, there was a verse in the first song, Amazing Grace, and I was talking about how we were blind, but now we see. Do we see everything? Do we understand everything because we were once blind, but now we see? Is that what that means? No, it doesn't. We see in part, and there's many more things for us that we need to really understand and have and understand the particulars of what the Word is trying to get across to us. Is Jesus saying how we consider love, is that in every case? You know, Jesus says to us that if our eyes offend us, pluck them out. Do you think Jesus really meant for us to pluck out our eye? Mm-mm. I don't think so. If our hand offends us, are we to cut off our hand? Now, he says that, but he's using it as a metaphor to get us to understand the seriousness of things. And for us as people, we do really need to learn how to love beyond what we're capable of. And that love is going to make its impact on people that are our enemies. But we need to make sure that we have it in the right context and that we're applying it the right way. It isn't just a carte blanche that we are to love our enemies. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm going to get to it. The second scripture, Proverbs 19:2, it says, it's not good for a person to be without knowledge, but he who hurries his footsteps will make mistakes. Now, this is kind of like, let me see how I wrote this down. We want to make sure that we know something. We read a scripture like Matthew 5, and if we only look at Matthew 5, and we don't look at other scriptures, we could have the wrong application, the wrong overall view of what God is saying to us. Alexander Pope, a very famous writer, said, "It's dangerous to have a little knowledge. It hastens fools to rush in where angels fear to tread." Now, and what it's saying is, you know, a little bit of knowledge can really be dangerous to us. If we know that scripture but don't know other scriptures, we would tend to have the wrong approach or the same approach in every instance of life when God is telling us, in this case, this is what you do, but you need to listen to me because over here, when you get to this, you're not going to approach it the same way. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope that you do.
Malcolm.
Yes.
Can I just kind of jump in here a little bit?
Oh, sure.
You know what? When it says that in Matthew 5 about love, the thing I think about is what's God's definition of love?
It's different
than our definition of love. So there's the, you know, like love can be shown by chastising somebody sometimes because you're trying to correct their behavior.
Exactly.
And you're showing them love because if you let them keep going down that road, they're going to destroy themselves. So there is ways that the scripture, we kind of interpret it kind of wrong sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly.
I just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Because, no, that's perfect. That's exactly what needs to be said here. So, because our concept of what we think God is talking about is really important. I'd like you to go if you've got your Bibles or if you're just looking up at the screen, Psalm 139. Kind of, you know, says something that should take us back a little bit and make us wonder, well, what's going on here? Because Psalm 139, 21 to 24 says this: "I hate them, O Lord, who hate you. I am grieved with those that rise up against you. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." Now, after David says this, he realizes that hate is not the greatest thing to have, but he does have, and God doesn't reprimand him for having that. But he says in his heart, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We must be careful when we talk about this and we talk about hating those who hate the Lord, and which is an extreme emotion. But I want to say that in the fight that we're in, we can't be naive. We can't be soft in areas where God doesn't want us to be soft in, like Reggie was saying. And we need to have the right kind of hardness as well as softness. I think the Lord's saying this to us. It's going to be important as we go down the line here. So, so here's this to consider. Here's Jesus, you know, love your neighbor. But yet the Lord says, David says, I hate them who hate you, with a perfect hatred, with a complete hatred. That's what that word means, complete hatred. So let's flesh this out some more and see some other things, because, you know, Jesus is not Jesus in Matthew 5 is not contradicting Psalm 139, nor any of these other scriptures that I'm going to read. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. So there must be something that we learn how to approach the bad things in life, the things where we're being attacked, when it's people or when it's our own minds or the enemy. There's a way that we need to approach what is happening in our lives and what's happening in this world, as we're going to be talking about, because this is where I really want to get to by the end of the message. So, how do these scriptures harmonize? It's kind of crazy how that is. I want us to look at Ecclesiastes 3. There's three verses, 1, 3, and 8, and this is what it says. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. Sometimes God has one thing, a purpose, a season where things are supposed to be done a certain way, approached a certain way, said a certain way. And then there's other times where it's going to be done in a different way. But what he's saying here is, notice this in verse 3, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. That's extreme. But God is the one that's saying this, isn't he? There is a time for that. Well, what's the time to kill? Well, that gets taken care of when we talk about a time for war and a time for peace. There's a time for war. People that have fought in war, there's a time for that. And you weren't wrong if you had to go and do something like that. We have to be careful, of course. There's a time to love, and there is a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. All of these things, we need to be a very balanced soldier of Christ. Now, the next scripture is 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2. I'm just going to let you know what this is about. Prior to this is the story of Jehoshaphat lining up his armies with the king of Israel, who was Ahab. And Ahab was a very wicked and ungodly ruler. And Jehoshaphat, when asked by Ahab to go out with him in the battle against the Syrians, Jehoshaphat said, "Yeah, you're my brother, your family. I'm gonna go and help you out." And so they went out to the battle, the Battle of Ramoth-Gilead, and Ahab ends up getting killed in that battle, but Jehoshaphat makes it back. And so this is where it's picking up. Jehoshaphat, in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 19, Jehoshaphat returns to Jerusalem. And then verse 2, which is what's highlighted for you, says this: "And Jehu, the prophet, went out to meet Jehoshaphat and said to him, 'Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon you from the Lord.'" Now that's a good question. Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Now, this seems in a certain respect to be opposite of what Jesus is telling us, but I know that the scriptures harmonize. They're together. They're not contradicting one another. And so this leads us to dig into this more. Proverbs 25, verse 26 says, "A righteous man who bows to the wicked is like a stirred up fountain and a corrupted spring of water." We're not to give in to the wicked. We're not to get to the place where we give ourselves over to what the wicked are doing. We need to be a bulwark against wickedness. Amen. Now, there's certain ways that we love. Sometimes we're to show grace and respect for people that have different opinions than us, even people that are in an ungodly situation. We can still talk with them in a nice way, and we show love that way. But we shouldn't be giving away and saying, "Well, yeah, that's okay to do," that kind of thing. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the stubbornly willful mouth do I hate." That's God speaking. That's Proverbs 8:13. Last night I was watching one of those mystery shows, and a Hallmark mystery show, and something was said, it was a little piece of information, a little piece of instruction that came from the show, and I went, "Oh, it's the sister that killed her younger sister." And I had a little bit of information, and I thought, "Oh, I know, but I didn't. I didn't have all the information. And I think this is important for us, that as we understand that we're to be people of love, there are limits that the scripture puts on. There's times and seasons for certain things to be done, certain things that need to be approached, and really that we're going to really need to know about. We can't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So I'm going to see if I can, I'm going to move this down just a little bit. Of course, in this war that we're in, fighting that we have to deal with, a lot of it's in our own mind. But the Lord makes it real clear in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we're not We don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now, I want to point something out here that really can go over our heads sometimes. We are against the principalities and powers. We are against rulers of darkness of this world. There are some people in this world that are so given over to darkness, and they are in positions of authority in governments in this world, and churches and or other and organizations that are so given over to the darkness. We are against those people. If we can reach out to them and give them the gospel, that's one thing. But we are against what they stand for. Isn't that right? And we're against the spiritual wickedness that's in the heavenly places. What is in the heavenly places plays itself out. The spirits that are in back of all of this that have snagged certain people and they are in the control of the enemy. We have to deal with. Jeremiah 51:20 says this: "You are my battle axe. You are my weapons of war." So there's something that we need to see about ourselves. And I know that whether it's what we learn in Ephesians or what we're reading about here, prayer and intercession is the very important thing, but there is more that we need to do in this life. Prayer has to be the very foundational basis of everything. But there are other things that we need to know. We need to know what the enemy's up to so that we can stand against it. That's one thing we do need to know. And it's not always in the future, well, God will show me what's going on. God is showing. God has shown in his word, and we need to understand his word so that we are ready for the life situations that happen on a personal level and on a grand level, that the enemy doesn't have a snooker. Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3 say this: "The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his Messiah. The rulers take counsel together against them, saying, 'Let us break their bands apart and cast away their cords from us.' The rulers of this world, the governments of this world, are against God and against the Messiah." We have to realize that. Government is a necessary evil, but it is an evil. Because man, once getting power, gets corrupted. There's the ultimate that is talked about in the scripture about the Antichrist. I'm not going into all of what is read there, but you can see in Daniel 8, 23 to 25 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and also in Revelation 13, 7, I'm kind of encapsulating all that's said there. Let me see what he's skilled in darkness. He has policies of craft, which is intrigue, deceptions, guile. He comes through the power of Satan, working signs and lying wonders and deception. So, and we're flooded. We're flooded with false, with propaganda in this world. We're flooded with the lies and deception. And Jesus even talks about this in Matthew 24, how the very first thing that Jesus talks about is be careful not to be deceived. There's false Christs out there. And he's very explicit in Matthew 24 about that. We know at some point in time that, as it says in Revelation 13:7, that there's going to be an actual person called the Antichrist who is going to rule the nations. And 13:7 it says, and he is given power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. There's a one world globalist order that is eventually going to come down the pike. This is Satan's idea. This is the workings and deceptions of Satan, not God. God knew about it. God looked down time and saw what was going to happen. This wasn't God's plan. God took Satan's plan, and he's going to turn it all to good for us. You know, just like, God doesn't want sickness, but it's in the world because of sin. God didn't want Satan to be to control this world, but he is. But God has a remedy, and it's going to be taken care of. This wasn't God's plan. God saw and came up with a plan to take care of this. And we are not to be joining in with Satan's plan. We're to be joining in with God's plan and stand against these national kind of things that are going on. So this Antichrist, and I didn't write it down in the scriptures, but just to go on with that concept about the Antichrist, 1 John chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 say that Antichrist, this particular person that's going to be at the end of the age, will come. But even now, there are many antichrists, people against Jesus, people against Christ. And 1 John 4, 3 says, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. So we're dealing in this world right now with the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist hasn't showed up yet. But we're dealing with the spirit of Antichrist, that spirit that comes up to oppose Christ, to come against the Lord. And so I asked the same question that Jehu asked Jehoshaphat. Are we to help the ungodly? I don't think so. I think we need to stand in this world, not only against the darkness that would try to come at our own minds and make us make bad decisions and lead us into sin and that, but also to stand against the forces of darkness of this world that are trying to bring about something that we are supposed to stand against. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. And I know, I think it was, I was talking to Joe and Sylvia, and Sylvia mentioned about this particular scripture. And I went, oh, wow, that's in the message this week. Romans 13, I was in the devotions the other day. Yes, that's what it was. Thank you, Marie. It says this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And, I'm going to finish this, but here at the beginning of this, you go, well, sure, every day we're closer to our salvation than when we first believed. So there must be something there must be something more about this. I mean, it's too much of an obvious kind of statement to think that that's all that that means. There's something more important for us to give ourselves over to. We need to be awakened not only to the fact that we're once blind, but now we see and we've accepted Christ as our Savior, but there is a greater thing that's coming at the end of this age for us to enter into. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Not a lot of Christians are really hating evil that much that they are moving in this scripture to the way that we need to. I know I'm not. I want to be more. You know, what was it that was said? In one of the songs that John had. I want nothing, nothing less than what you want for me. Well, if we don't even realize that there's some greater thing for us that God wants us to get prepared for, then we don't have a goal to shoot for. We don't understand that there's something higher. You know, yeah, we're just punching the air. We're not hitting the mark when we're in this fight, and we need to have a greater understanding of this. So, you know, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Do we know what some of those devices are? Revelation 2:26, it says, "To him that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, will I give power over the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron." Oh my gosh. Do you get that? Do you see that? Oh my gosh. We're going to rule and reign with him. Do you think that we're just going to have the magic wand put over us and we're going to know how to rule and reign? Or is God getting a people, those who overcome, the ability to rule and reign with him? This is a big thing that smacked me in the face. Him that overcomes, well, there's things that we need to overcome in our life, isn't it? Yeah. Aren't there? And he's going to give power over the nations. These governments that rise themselves up against the Lord and against his anointed. We even now should be standing against the evil flow that's taking us in this direction. We know it's eventually going to get there, but maybe the reason that's going to happen is because the Lord will take the church out. And then it's going to happen. But in the meantime, we're supposed to be the salt. We're supposed to be the light of the world that stops this wickedness, that doesn't allow the enemy to take things during the spirit of Antichrist. The enemy is doing things in incremental stealings of things. He for decades and decades he has taken the minds of our children through what's going on in the education system, the morality issues that are now just so widespread. It isn't just that the high point of evil just happens one day. This is going over a long period of time, and the church should have been there to stop a lot of this, but we didn't. I don't think we should continue. there are things that we can do besides pray that we have to do. But there are other things that we need to be ready for. You know, for example, there are some people, I think like Steve and some others, that are called to write and put things in the newspapers that push against what the enemy wants to bring about. There's other things that go on, you know, writing to Congress, doing things. The last part of this, you know, 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people that should show forth his praises, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are an army. We are priests. We are kings. And we need to be instructed and practice those things. We're not going to know how to rule or reign if we can't rule or reign ourselves. We can't rule or reign if we are ignorant of the enemy's devices and ignorant of what his plans are and what he's doing in the world. Because the enemy in many places in this world, because of the governments of those particular countries, the people don't have the freedoms that we do. And I'll tell you what, we're losing a lot of them real fast. And we'll continue to lose them unless people stand up and speak out. Mm-hmm. We are the battle axe. We are the war club. We need to stand. It's the Lord's power. It's the Lord's grace. But he asks us to be his instruments. Don't get me wrong. This is not some flexing of our muscle. We don't have any. But he does, and we need to be identified with the Lord. In the things that are coming up in this world, we need to be those kinds of people. So I'm just going to end with this particular verses in Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 says, and I'm just kind of cutting it down a little bit, for the day is coming that is going to burn like an oven. And it will burn up the wicked. But you, who fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise. And that's all I put in there. But the rest of that.
Yeah.
Rise with healing in his wings.
Yeah, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and we will skip about. Like calves from the stall, you know, free, excited, joyful. It's going to be a wonderful thing. That's our destiny. And we're going to tread down the wicked, it says in verse 3. There's a lot of things we don't really quite know yet, but God's showing it little by little. So I want to encourage us today to be people of the word, people that are not afraid to speak up, to stand against the forces of darkness that are in this world right now. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Should we be helping the ungodly? Should we be allowing things to take place? Because we know down the line, it eventually the Antichrist is going to come and all of that. No, we need to stand against in our own hearts first. But when things come up in our communities, we need to stand up against it together. And God will continue to show us how to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Malcolm. Great, great message. Just really, I've been working on a message, you know, dealing with God's strength in us and how to use that and battle these things. So it's pretty cool to see that. I mean, that goes right along with it. There's some major stuff going on right now. And just on Facebook today, I had put, people have asked me the whole time, like, you know, how do you feel about what's going on right now? And what do you think about all this and stuff? Yeah. And I was, you know, I haven't really given a good answer until today. I was praying about it and I got the message, train yourself physically, train yourself spiritually, train yourself mentally, because things are coming down the pipe. That's going to be worse.
Yes. I mean,
this is just the beginning.
Yes.
And we need to be thinking about that a lot and get yourself prepared. Get yourself spiritually prepared in a
excellent,
big
Reggie.
Way.
Yep. Excellent, Reggie. I'm excited because the Lord was saying the same thing to me, Reg. Exact same thing.
Yeah. So it's awesome. And there's a lot of twisting that's going on. So
yes.
Don't be deceived by all the twisting that's going on. So so there's a lot of deception out there.
There is.
Be very vigilant as a church. Be very vigilant. Don't get lazy, because it's easy to get lazy when we're in this time period, right? Everybody kind of sitting back. I mean, I catch myself getting lazy, just sitting back and not really being very vigilant on where I am spiritually, because, you know, it's easier just to turn on the TV and watch something on TV or something. You know, it's just too easy. So be cautious.
Yes.
Be cautious. All right, let's go into joys and concerns. I got a few I'm going to kind of bring up real quick first. I want us to be praying for Crystal's shoulder. It's not as good as what it could be, so we need to lift her up and her shoulder. Rachel, who was on here earlier, Rachel Baudouin, she's kind of had some miracles happen with her eyes a little bit. Infection's gone, but she's still having problems with vision. So we need to keep lifting up Rachel Baudouin. For her eyes. Jen Gilbert's brother is in dire need of prayer. Ricky tried to commit suicide, or was thinking about committing suicide last night. They were able to get there and disarm him. And he's in a safer place right now. But Ricky and the Burke family really need some heavy duty prayer. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for salvation there. Let's pray for spiritual healing that will break anything that's tormenting him inside. Really some strong prayers. I plead that we all week long, we all lift up this particular prayer in a big way. Okay. My sister, Jessie, they have a COVID case in a nursing home where she works. So she was asking for prayers there. And I pray that not only do we have prayers for protection and stuff like that, but also against the spirit of fear. Let's not be fearful in all this. Okay. So let's keep that lifted up. All right. I think that's all the major ones I have. So if anybody else has any prayers, joys, testimonies or comments about Malcolm's message, we can do that right now. One at a time. Just unmute yourself. Remember to mute yourself after. Just unmute yourself, speak, and then I'll kind of lead who's going to be talking.
Ready?
Here's Claude. Yeah, Claude.
Malcolm, you were talking a lot about not just taking one scripture, but taking the whole of scripture sometimes. I'm thinking about the verse. I think it's in Romans, but I'm not positive about how we are to be obedient to the government, that they're placed there by God, and that we're to pray for our government, and that if we don't do any evil, then we shouldn't fear them. But that always is not necessarily the truth if you look at the whole world. And during this virus, you hear a lot about, well, you got to be obedient to the government. You got to be obedient to the government. And I'm not disagreeing with that, because I think we still live in the greatest country in the world. God bless us. And I think we have to be aware of the full scripture when we read that verse also.
Yeah, I agree with that, Claude, for sure. I mean, like, you know, the no one scripture rules over all the other scriptures, for sure. And the whole thing about obedient to the world, like what is that telling you? You know, like to be obedient to the government. You know, I think that there's a time and place for that too. You know, there's times where you have to listen to government and there's times where you don't. I've been reading a lot of stuff about, like, the government really looking into right now how they're able to control the masses. They're gaining knowledge of how to control the masses through fear. So we have to be, you have to be praying hard and really be looking into the whole picture, right? Now, maybe it's necessary that we all have to be separated right now. You know, time will tell. We don't even know if that's true or not, but time will tell. But the thing is they are gaining knowledge of how to control us. Mm-hmm. And so in the future, there's going to be things coming down the pipe where they may say, we want to control them for some reason, separate them somehow. What are we going to do? We're going to throw out this other thing, to rise up fear. And then all of a sudden they're going to listen to us, right? They're learning this. So there is a balance, and that's what Malcolm was saying. Like, there's a balance with all this stuff. It's, we got to be cautious, you know? And that's where the prayer and the communication with God is so, so important. So important. Good point. So yeah, great point, Claude. Yep. Anybody else? Steve.
Reggie, Glenda. This is Debbie.
Well, Debbie, hey. Hey, Debbie.
Yeah. Remember the two joys I gave you last night.
We're gonna end with that. We're gonna end with those.
Okay.
Yeah. Because okay. I don't want to kind of interrupt the other methods. Okay. Things. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, Steve? Reg.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's got some spiritual and some mental issues, and he. The police took him into custody a couple days ago. One of his problems is he's not able to get in to see his doctor because of everything going on. So we need to be praying for that, because that's one of the things that I think is a concern, the side effects that we kind of talked about before of all this pandemic thing. And that's one of them, people not being able to see their doctors. And now, one of the things Malcolm talked about was knowledge. You know, you need to know what's going on. And so I wrote a 10-page pandemic essay that covers all the different ideas and thoughts and directives or whatever that are out there. If anyone's interested in some good reading, they can let me know and I can email it to them. It's just stuff that I've been picking up, the things that people don't know about. They're just thinking that this thing is going to destroy the whole world, and there's more to it than that. So if anyone's interested in that, it's just let me know and I can email it to you or whatever.
Yeah, and I find it. I love it. I love that. I read it, and it's really good, Steve. It's comprehensive. There's a lot of stuff in it and even though that this is like you say, a 10 page thing, that doesn't even cover all of it. You'd be amazed at how much more there is. And you'd be amazed at what Steve wrote down. It's incredible. So
I'm on the fourth installment now, but, what was the other thing I wanted to mention? No, it'll come back to me.
Yeah. Forget it. And the whole thing with the doctors too, I'm telling you, it's you know, I've heard this from people too, like they can't get in to see their doctors, and there's a lot going on. There's people that aren't getting tested for different things. We're supposed to be having mammograms and colonoscopies and heart disease checks. None of that stuff is going on. And some of that could be critical. Like if you catch it now, it may be able to be treated. But 2 months from now, it may not, and it's going to cost people's lives. So there is a lot to think about with all this, and mental health and depression And, you know, we're going to, I think the longer this goes, the more you're going to hear that stuff ramp up even more. Heavy duty prayer. Keep your eyes on people that you know and love and really reach to them, because they're in need. And even if they say no, that they're fine. They are not fine, all of them. So let's keep your eyes open. Thanks, Steve. Anybody else have anything?
Hey, Reggie?
Yes,
I do. Chuck.
Who's this? Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Reggie, I wanted to say an amen to the sermon today.
Yep.
And to what you added to it. The whole world, whether they think so or not, is groaning, waiting for the church to rise up into the identity of who we are, to cast the demons out, to bring healing into people's lives, to help people through the power of God to know who he is. And our understanding of God has got to grow beyond Jesus meek and mild with the lamb on his shoulder, to the Jesus in red of Isaiah 63.
That's right.
Where he comes and he completely destroys the kingdoms of this world when he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives to restore what always should have been.
That's right.
And we need to hear sermons like this, because there's people in our circle of concern that need us to say the truth. When we love people, we will tell them the truth.
That is true.
And I'm very stirred up by this. Very good. You know, God is working. This is for our benefit, what's happening right now.
Yep.
For the church to wake up, grow up, and rise up in the bridal identity of who God wants us to be. So thank you.
Yeah. It's true. And I'm going to say it again, like the definition is love is different than what the common person thinks of love, you know? So there is a difference there. So between love that God has and love that we understand love to be. So we got to be really, really cautious about that. You know, Sylvia, you have something?
No, Jolinda is waiting.
Oh, yeah. Jolinda.
Oh, I just wanted to say that my Aunt Mary is out of the hospital now. And
amen.
She's breathing on her own. She doesn't even need an oxygen tank. So she's doing really good. And she was happy. She called me, I think, a couple days ago. So I'm so happy that she's doing well.
Excellent. Good reports all around so far, right? Like, so prayer is working, right? Like these people, you had three family members in the hospital with this thing. And they're in their home. So this is huge, right? This is not small time. Right? You know, that's miracles happening right there through prayer. I believe it. True, full boat. I believe it. So thank you. Thank you for the report. That's awesome. We'll keep lifting up those people.
Hey, Reggie, Amanda's been trying to get in for quite a while.
Who has?
Amanda.
Amanda. Okay, Amanda, you're on. Amanda?
Yeah. Thank you. We really needed this teaching from Malcolm. So many churches are asleep. My church is totally asleep. It's so disheartening. And a lot of churches, even in New Hampshire, are just asleep. They just aren't aware of the spiritual battle. They don't even acknowledge that Satan and the dark forces exist. They're not reading their Bibles. So I just would like prayer for so many churches to wake up. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. The church has been stepped back for so long because we want to be nice to people and we got to make them feel good all the time. And look at where it's gotten us. It's gotten us into some pretty desperate situations.